Harry, we are officially getting started with a delayed start to the Coffee with Digital Trailblazers. I apologize, everyone. This happened our very, very first time doing it through LinkedIn and Zoom, and now we're having this problem again. And I know what caused it, and it's human error on top of LinkedIn's defects. But if you start the stream too early, it sort of forgets who you are and then makes it literally impossible to do it again. So I apologize for the delayed start, and I apologize for the actual extra clicking. We've lost our ability to do a common stream today, but you are here live in our green room. And if you'd like to speak, please use your hand to raise your hand. That's how it works back here, that you don't get to see. So consider yourself part of the team today. And today we're talking about digital dexterity, updating for the next wave of transformation leaders. And I thought I would just start by sharing what I mean by digital dexterity. And let me see if I can just bring that up.
Isaac,
Again.
just to let you know, the comment stream in the Zoom is working fine, so there people are commenting in there as well. So we do have the comment stream.
We do have the comment stream, but they can't hear anything. Strange enough. If you could put another message in there, Martin, to let people know that we're here.
Yeah, then what I meant was the comment stream within the Zoom is working for this conversation we're having. The comment stream within the defunct LinkedIn has your link. It has a note saying please use the correct Zoom link.
Okay. Well, we can use the chat here.
Yes.
We can use raising your hand if you want to speak. And let me tell you what I mean by dexterity, and then we'll get started. It's the adaptability to new technologies. It's the willingness to experiment and learn. It's the collaboration across disciplines, and it's the critical thinking and digital literacy. And if you think I wrote that, you are incorrect. I did not write any of those things. Those all came from ChatGPT as a way of me just simplifying what we all potentially mean by digital dexterity. And so that's my first question. You'll always be transforming, and that requires digital dexterity. How do you evaluate this meta skill in up and coming leaders? And raise your hand to speak. And I'm just going to actually toss the baton over to Joe first. Joe, you've mentored many leaders and you've hired many leaders. What is your definition of dexterity, and how do you evaluate that in people?
But I think you put your finger on it, Isaac, or ChatGPT perhaps put its finger on it when you said that it's the ability to ask the right questions, to have the curiosity, the sort of inquisitive nature to want to understand things. You know, I've often said when I interview people, what I look for is less a suite of technical skills and much more enthusiasm, so-called fire in the eyes, you know, the real drive to want to make a difference. And those are the characteristics, I think, that lead to someone who can navigate the ever-changing world at light speed and be successful.
Drive to make a difference. What are you asking someone to kind of get a sense of that?
Why are you here? What are you interested in? What made you see this particular opportunity as a good one for you? Why do you think you're well suited to this opportunity? I listen for those verbal clues that give me an insight into what motivates this person. Obviously, someone who is there because they just needed a job, or because they were attracted to the salary or the location. You know, I'm less interested in that. I'm more interested in someone who brings something different and unique, some outside thinking to the job.
And you probably can ask the question looking back too, right, Joe? I mean, people who are, you know, talk about their accomplishments and what made that satisfying and what excited them, and what are some of the hurdles? I think that tells a good story, right?
Positive, forward thinking, forward looking, stories about how what I did before could apply here, as opposed to I couldn't wait to get away from, or my last boss was a jerk. You know, those kinds of things are real downers. So yes, absolutely, accomplishments and the job history. But it's the tone, it's the enthusiasm, it's the excitement in the voice. You know, less emphasis on the content, more on the delivery.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Martin, you're up. Digital dexterity, how you evaluating it?
So I'm kind of looking for various things, and inquisitiveness is one of the things I always look for. Are they actually asking questions? Do they want to find out more? Do they want to understand how business works? Yeah, this is not about technology. This is about how do you transform business? So are they, asking those inquisitive questions? Do they want to understand and then understand why those things are happening? Why do people behave that way? And how do you use that then to actually see about what the future changes could be? I think we've said it all before. The most dangerous phrase in the English language is we've always done it that way. So you need to be asked questions. So, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing it that way? Why are you doing it that? Why? The five whys is always a good way of getting to try and get to what's behind it. And sometimes what you get is because we've always done it that way, and there's no real reason behind it. And then you say, okay, how can you transform? How are you as an upcoming leader going to use the information you've gathered to paint a picture, a vision for the future?
Very interesting. I like the inquisitive questions. I love being around business and outside your technical focus, real interest in how people are thinking about where they can make a difference and whether they're interested in the opportunities presented to them. Derek, good to see you. How are
Good
you
morning.
evaluating dexterity? Good morning.
I think looking at the leaders, do they have an innovative mindset? Are they into innovations and those things that are changing around them? Do they understand the innovations and those things that are changing around them? But also looking at how it may impact or change the business culture. And along with that, if you're looking at innovation, is also looking at what kind of resilience mindset do they have on top of that? You know, if you're thinking resilience, it's really a long-term strategy or investment. And it's really understanding what do I currently have today, understanding how can I get there based on what I don't have today, and figure out how to make that work. And that's where the innovation mindset comes in. The technologies that are out there, they evolve in artificial intelligence, agentic AI. How can I use those to my best advantage? And it really is that thinker that's thinking outside the box. As mentioned earlier, we can't keep doing what we've been doing to get ahead. We have to look at what can we do differently to keep making strides forward.
So, what are you asking to see how people think outside the box? What are some of the things you're trying to ascertain and getting people to talk about?
Well, it's looking at, you know, I'm going to use artificial intelligence because that's kind of the buzzwords of today. You're looking at the tools that are out there with all the different LLMs, the agents that are out there. What, how can we use those particular tools to increase our revenue generation, increase our productivity, increase our business culture, really enhance the things that we're doing now? So if they're looking at that, the technologies that exist, and asking the questions, how can we incorporate those? It's really the forward thinking, how can I transform what I have today to make it better, utilize the current technologies? Everybody's gone through a quantum or technology leap based on technologies changing from Ethernet to wireless to cellular. Now we're looking at how can we take those things from Ethernet to wireless to now automation and automate those things that we were doing manually to make it work better for us. And it's really looking at, again, understanding what do you currently have, what are you working with, but how can I transform it to be that much better or get me that much further down the road? And the ability to do that really starts with asking the questions. And I think that leader has to have their finger on the pulse to be able to ask those questions, because otherwise they're in the dark.
Thank you, Derek. Folks, we're in a quasi coffee hour today. We could not get the LinkedIn event up and running, so we're starting a little bit late. If you would like to speak today, just raise your hand using the Zoom tools at the bottom of your screen. All are welcome today. The chat window on Zoom is open. The dashboard that we normally update is here. This will be a little bit of a rescue and an experiment to see what it's like to have everybody here. Joanne, I'd love to hear how you evaluate this skill, but also bridge into our next question too, since we got our last start. How should digital trailblazers develop and their digital dexterity? Go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning, everybody. I would say to me, evaluating digital dexterity comes down to two things: the ability to take things that are sort of disconnected, so connect the dots, and create value in the process of doing that. So turn your technology argument into a value creation argument while you're looking at a bigger picture. I think for me, digital dexterity comes down to the ability to take different kinds of Legos shapes and put them together in a way that's unique, delivers value, and continues to be a building block for the future. That's how I evaluate digital dexterity.
Excellent. And your ideas on how digital trailblazers can develop their digital dexterity?
I think in terms of developing it, there's kind of a couple of different things. One is disrupt yourself. Every time you step out of your comfort zone, do it purposefully, do it intentionally, and do it in a way that is really disruptive to you as an individual, as you, whether it's in a circular economy way, an agentic AI way, any kind of way. Do a podcast, write a paper, anything that's out of your comfort zone, do that to yourself regularly. I think the other thing is lead learning in a public venue, whether that's giving a presentation, writing a paper, going to do a speech, whatever you can do that pushes yourself into an ability to be collaborative with other people, but still maintain your identity and your leadership. Those are things that I find dexterous leaders do.
Love it, Joanne. I'm going to go right to Liz. Liz, I know you have shortened time here, so give us the 5-minute wisdom for today.
Well, first of all, here's wisdom number one: never go after Joanne. Let's just start with that, because she steals all
Hey.
my good bullet points. She says them better than me, than better than I do. So first of all, in terms of recognizing dexterity, for me, it's all about business value. So recognizing people on your team or even within yourself is the people who are willing to step back and see what's going on digitally around them and look to how they can connect those dots. They can, again, zoom out and see where they can map those digital skills to what's going on top and bottom line. So getting that business value out. But in terms of developing it, I love the idea of doing presenting your own self and developing in yourself, but developing them in your team. So you could be doing things like, I don't know, weekly or monthly lunch and learns where people take turns. Okay, who has something that they've been wanting to learn about from a digital perspective or has a passion about and would like to lead a little conversation around it? You know, two or three slides on what you've seen on from ChatGPT or from, you know, Google, and let's lead some questions in round robin so that we can all, you know, get up to speed on new things that are going on in our industry. And just bringing your team along to develop that dexterity and bring them out of their comfort zones. So while developing yourself as a leader is super important, developing your team is super important too.
Liz, what about the stamina that I think transformation leaders need to be able to convey? You know, I tell people all the time, you're always transforming. Today, we're doing a bunch of things. We're going to get to another milestone 1 month, 3 months out, and you know, we're going to get back on the bicycle again and pedal harder, maybe move into a different direction. You know, there's a sort of a fatigue that I see in some people. So how do you build up your dexterity to continue to be a part of an evolving organization?
Oh, I know it. It is painful, isn't it? I mean, change fatigue is real. Acknowledging that that's a real thing, noticing it in your folks, right? So, and acknowledging it with them publicly when they know that it's happening, like, oh no, not a new thing. Oh no, not a new thing. And not trying to swallow it all at once, right? Do POCs or pilots, and again, leverage people who have interest in it so that they can do a little dip their toe in and share and see if you can actually move along to learn from what's going on without having to just swallow it whole. I think that it's really important to acknowledge the fact that everything, do you remember that book Future Shock?
I do.
Like that's how old we are, right? So Future
Right.
Shock is now it's like no, it's the norm. It's just the norm. And you got to sort of acknowledge it and pace yourself and encourage your teams to pace themselves as well.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you for joining. I know you're on short time. Folks, we are doing a special version of the Coffee with Digital Trailblazers. Our LinkedIn connection did not work this morning. So thank you for joining here on Zoom, which is usually our green room. But you are all welcome to join us on stage and share your comments or just participate in the chat that's on Zoom. If you would like to join us, just use the hand raising. I think it's a tool at the very bottom to raise your hand. I think it's under React. And if you'd like to say something, please do come up on stage. Who's next? John. It's good to see you again, John. What's going on?
Yeah, Zach, thanks for having me up. I think, technology and learning, those are lifelong things. And so, like, when you look at business books, business books last forever, right? A good business book, from 50 years ago is still relevant. But technology, it's like a business book might be relevant, but a technology book from 10 years ago isn't relevant anymore. And so, I think the technology, that stuff atrophies so fast. And so what you really want is someone that's a lifelong learner in this stuff and someone that really is curious on how you can use that stuff to get business value, which I've heard people say. But what you don't want is somebody that just is chasing the newest technology and wants to stick the newest technology in everywhere. 'Cause that often is so many times people will stick technology in that they don't really add value or it's not the right technology, it's not proven. And so what you really want is someone that can really is good at choosing the right technology and interested in the right technology and for the right time and for the right organization.
What's your answer to the question I threw, Liz, John? The ability to sort of realize that, you want to celebrate a success and realize an accomplishment, but you got to keep pushing forward, and developing your skills left and right of your current competencies. What do you say to people that look like they have it, but they're starting to get exhausted and the fatigue is hitting them? I lose John. I lost John.
Well, I
Oh,
thought that
there he
you were
is.
throwing that one to Liz.
No, I'm throwing that to you, John. Liz dropped off already.
Well, I agree on that one. And it's really important that the people that are applying technology that's right for the organization, that's right for the maturity of the organization, maturity of the people there. And so that's where I think is that's like I think people get a lot more I think experience at trying to like right size what they recommend with what they have to work with, and that's something that you can't just always chase the newest technology. You have to f really figure out what's appropriate for what you have, where you want to put it in with, and choose something that's going to be a safe bet, so that it doesn't get thrown away with the next piece of hotness that comes out.
Thank you, John. Martin, you're back. How are you helping digital trailblazers develop their digital dexterity? That's a
Well, I
mouthful,
put
sir.
some kind of ideas in one of the boxes on the whiteboard. So, I'm going to encourage them to adopt systems thinking, looking at the entirety and how the pieces interconnect and interplay. Yeah, develop critical thinking because when you look at the current business processes, and it's kind of that comment I made earlier about we've always done it that way. Critical thinking. Well, why is it done that way? Focus on business value. And then some of the kind of personal thing, yeah. Actually, sorry, before I get to personal things, process improvement. So I'll give you an example. I was brought into a company a little while back to look at selecting some systems for them, putting systems in. I spent a year helping them with process improvement and not going near a system because there were so many obvious things that were broken that you needed to fix first before you actually went anywhere near a system. So having those kind of skills to look at this stuff and actually critically evaluate it, evaluate how the system functions, all of these things, and focus on the business value, all of those pieces interplay. So that's critical. How do you develop those skills? And then in terms of your personal development, it was mentioned earlier, you present at an event, volunteer to be a speaker, write an article or a blog post, write a LinkedIn article, write an article on some other forum, whatever else, but volunteer. Because if you write an article or a blog post, and I'm not just talking a one-liner, I'm talking about a well-thought-out article, then that forces you to research something and think about how to put it across. And the act of researching and writing really does help you develop on a particular subject. And I always find it's a great learning experience writing an article on a subject.
I love the advice on writing an article. I love the idea, my idea for business value is like, go speak to customers, go to the factory floor, go to an event that's specific for your industry. So get out of, a screen and get in front of some real people. I'm going to ask Joanne, how people develop their critical thinking skills when she's up next. But Heather, I want you to go back to that first question. How are you evaluating it? You run a executive search firm. People are well rehearsed before they come to you, or they should be, in terms of how to answer questions. How do you find people who have authentic digital dexterity?
Thank you. I think a lot of it has to do with, and we touched on a lot of these comments already, in understanding how people think. So you can present scenarios to them, present something that actually happened, and ask them, have they experienced something like that in their situation? And then listen to the story that they tell. If they say, no, not exactly, I said, okay, so now envision yourself in this situation. Then you can see how creative they are, how their ability to think on their feet. And the technology, as I think Joe mentioned, is not nearly as important as how they would approach the problem. And you can only see that when they're not in this situation by asking them to tell you what they would do. I often used to give people questions when I was in having a research department. It's like, okay, this is the question. How would you go about finding the answer? How creatively they approached it, how creatively they would fine-tune the question. How did they ask me questions about it? So you really want to get a sense of how they think. And I've mentioned this option several times, and I really like it. It's if you can't If people don't feel comfortable in a real life situation stepping up, do a scenario, do a hackathon, give people the opportunity to practice in a less threatening environment. It's like, oh, I don't want to do it wrong. Well, when you're in a hackathon and you're in a safe space in a room working with teams, you can see and observe how it is that they're approaching the situation. And you may give them whoever they are. Individuals that may be more quiet, you may be able to give them an opportunity to really shine. And you, by observing how they work with others, you can see some of their own dexterity coming to the surface, their own ability to be flexible, to pivot, and to be open to how to other people's thoughts and how it's like, wow, that's a really good idea, as opposed to shooting it down. I mean, those are qualities you just, when you see them, to me, those are red flags. Like, I don't want people who are not open to change. So giving people a safe space to show what they can do.
Thank you, Heather. Heather, do you want to share an example of one of your scenario questions? I'm just kind of want to go a level deeper here.
Sure, this was a very long time ago, but I was in a research company, in a research department rather. It was JP Morgan. And I asked somebody, how would you go about finding information about the real estate market in Spain? Now, the person is in America, probably had no idea of the tools, the research tools, the real estate tools, anything. And they took a few minutes and they said, "Well, I don't, first of all, they admitted I don't know anything about the market in Spain." So that was a good admission on their part. And they said, "So I'd probably call the consulate. I'd want to find out what are some of the tools. Find experts, find people that can educate me, and give me the information that I can use for the next for my next step." And then it's like, okay, there's the real estate. There's a ge excuse me, the industry real estate. There's a geography for Spain. You can even take it regionally in Latin or South America, whatever the region is that you're looking for, and expand your outlook. And by each step, when the person said to me, "Well, I would look at call the National Realtor Association. Are there people that a comparable organization in Europe or in Spain or elsewhere?" And use each step in the process to refine and go to the next place. Because then you're seeing creativity, you're seeing inquisitiveness, you're seeing storytelling, you're seeing communication. So all of these different qualities are coming through that you wouldn't find out just on a resume.
Great. I love that idea. Ask a question just kind of left field and just see how they attack the problem. I think that's a really smart way of thinking about it. Joanne, before we go, I'm just going to take my quick midstream break. Folks, I am thrilled to have you here. Very frustrating this morning trying to get LinkedIn and Zoom to talk to each other. And after three or four tries, I threw in the towel, put the link up, and you are here. So thank you for that. This is a more open-ended conversation today. So if you have a comment that you'd like to share with the group, just raise your hand and join us on stage. Happy to have you. Thanks you for joining. Next week's episode, if all goes well, we'll be going back to Joanne's favorite topic about ecosystem thinking. And we've covered some of this a little bit in individual areas. We've talked about startups, we've talked about partnering, talked a little bit less about academia. So we're going to bring it all together and have a new set of conversations and questions about how you're looking outside of your organization for talent, for partnerships, and for capability. So that will be our episode next week. Joanne, I want to jump into our last question, right? We talked a little bit about what digital dexterity is. We've shared some examples about how trailblazers can develop their dexterity. When I go into this last question, of course, you're free to comment on anything, Joanne, but how should organizations accelerate skill development around constant change? And I'll tell you a story, Joanne. I was doing a workshop this week, and when I do the agile part of my workshops, I have a set of work item types. This is Azure DevOps language, or Jira type issue types. That's a Jira language, and they're unique to my program. And we create them so that they signify types of works beyond features and user stories. And somebody asked me whether or not professional development should be going on their backlog, and I was really concerned over this. I was sort of excited over it and concerned over this. I was thinking to myself, do people actually need to be reminded to do professional development in their backlog? And do organizations really need something that's that explicit to make sure that the pe they're actually people are actually doing this? So I'm sort of torn on over whether this is a good thing or not, but we're changing a lot. There's a lot of pressure. I think organizations have shrunk at a time also when there's greater expectations to use AI, use machine learning to be more productive and collaborative. And so, where do skills fit in this, Joanne? How do we constantly build up our digital dexterity?
Well, that's a lot to unpack. I'm going to give you 17 answers in 4 seconds, all of which will be useful. But let me start out by commenting on something that you kind of peaked before you took your break. And that is the interconnectedness of critical thinking and digital dexterity. So, to make it very simple, let me just say this: critical thinking is the muscle. Digital dexterity is the movement. So every time you flex your digital dexterity, you're doing the critical thinking gene a service. In other words, it's like cardio for your brain. So from that perspective, I just wanted to make that comment because they are really, really intertwined, and that's not only to the evaluation of digital dexterity, but to your question about how should people be thinking about professional development. Yes, it does fall off the wagon very, very quickly, usually in cost-cutting measures, but I think in order to accelerate the pace of digital dexterity, I would say this. You need to reframe talent strategy around versatility. You need versatile people, people who not necessarily go with the flow from an emotional perspective, but those who can fluidly change gears between technobabble, business babble, governance, stewardship. You know, we each have roles, and we play several of them minute by minute, right? Sometimes we're program managers, sometimes we're leaders, sometimes we're collaborators, other times we're co-opetitors. We can be political, we can be, you know, a number of different roles in a very, very short period of time. It's the versatility and the ability to fluidly shift between functions and technical domains or problem spaces that are really the things that organizations need to accelerate. Add to that, incentivize learning. Make it a performance-based issue so it doesn't fall off into the wacky world of budget cuts, and place some strategic bets. Digital literacy is an old phrase. AI literacy is a new phrase. They basically mean the same thing. It is keep up on what's going on around you from an industry perspective, from your trading partner ecosystem perspective, from what's happening in various departments around the organization, which could be very different. IT may not be at the same juncture as business, and business may be behind IT. There's a lot of different ways that that plays out. So if we start looking at things from the point of view that aligning, upskilling the strategic side of the on strategic bets, like something that's mainstream technology that's coming out, we'll probably be hedging our bets and lowering our costs. But in closing, I would say this: digital dexterity is really not a skill. It's a signature move. Leadership is defined by it.
Wow, you got a lot to unpack there in yourself, Joanne. A signature move, and I'll tell you how I think about the difference of it. You hear people trying to participate in an area that's outside of their expertise, and you know you tell very well whether that person is fearful or not, and quite frankly, do they know what they're talking about or not? And to me, dexterity is being able to exhibit both, right? The comfortableness to be able to talk outside of your area of expertise, but have enough confidence and knowledge to be able to do that. Derek and John, I hope you can hold off a second. We have a new voice here. I want to bring Dana up first. Dana, welcome to the floor. We're talking about digital dexterity. Just your thoughts around it.
Good afternoon. Thank you. This might not be necessarily totally around digital dexterity, but I think there is a play to it. And I think it goes back to a conversation we were having here earlier about what you try to look for in people or maybe what you're trying to develop in people. And I think one of the things that I've always kind of held close to my heart or at least tried to assess and then and build into some of the people I've had the opportunity to lead and develop into leaders is using the concept that came from Kim Scott's book on radical candor, which was basically to sum it up, to challenge directly, but to care personally. And what I mean by that is hard on process and soft on people. But soft on, and often when I say that, people go, well, you can't be soft on people. And I think that's where people sometimes lose the connotation of what that really means. I think being hard on process, it follows back to what Markham's concepts are. And he and I both worked for the same organization years ago, and it was very much about process improvement and continuous improvement. But I think sometimes that organization might have been thought of being hard on people. And when I go back to the comment of being soft on people, I think what a leader's job to do, especially as they're building out future talent, is to actually be much more about coaching in the moment. You know, we often talk about performance reviews and their value, but I think the true value is like, even when I used to coach kids in lacrosse and things, there's no sense telling a kid 3 hours after the game or 3 weeks after the game that they made an error. The time is to tell them is in the moment and do it in such a way that it becomes a learning experience, not a demeaning experience. So that's kind of the concepts I would be thinking of and had thought of as I looked at building leaders or finding leaders.
Brilliant, Dana. Thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate you stepping up and sharing some interesting ideas here. I love the idea hard on process. I just do. And you know, I translated your words a little bit different. Maybe not soft with people, but maybe empathetic with people would be my choice. You are free to go on the whiteboard and correct or change or add to that. Who's next? Derek and then John. We're talking about how organizations should de accelerate skill development amid constant change. Go ahead, John. Go ahead, Derek.
Sure. But one of the things I would look at is you're creating a long-term plan for agile learning of the culture and programs. It's a continuous learning thing. Technology is always changing. It's always evolving. Companies are trying to change and evolve, and there needs to be a process in which they can do that. But at the same time, if you're developing leaders, there also needs to be some sort of leadership development where you can maintain what does that look like to continue that pipeline of future transformational leaders. If you're not providing thought or growth for leaders to become transformational leaders, they'll become stagnant. So having the learning culture for the business culture on one front, but also from the leadership culture on another to keep that pipeline flowing. So you'll always have a group of leaders to work with for any new transformation or any new innovation coming down the pipe.
Super, John.
Yes, I heard some things I absolutely love. Like in an organization, like you will have some people that are self-learners, right? And but if you want the organization to continue to grow and learn, like you have to put process in there for it. And you have to, I think you have to invest. And if you can't afford to send people to conferences, you can at least you can actually just, you know, figure out how to do things on smaller budgets and to look to see what's available with the budget you have. But if you don't do anything and you don't make it a priority for your organization, it's going to be left to the individuals, and you'll have some people that really excel at it and some people that won't. One thing that I've seen that works really well for more of the technical skills is to really try to do an assessment across the organization of what skills people have and kind of like what skills people are learning on, so that you have a really good understanding of kind of where the organization currently is. And so that when you go to invest, you can put investments in time, money, send people to conferences, send people to trainings, pay for learning programs like a Cloud Guru in areas where you really need it. And so I think having a really good view of where people are currently learning and where they're going is a really helpful thing. At companies, we've always kept a list of the certificates that people have by company. You know, these are the Amazon Cloud Certs that people have. These are when they're expiring. These are the Azure Cloud Certs and all the other partners that we work with. And that's really, really helped us understand where we have technical strength. And when somebody leaves the company, we can go in and quickly see what certs were affiliated with that person to where you can see where we're going to have a gap. I think it's really important to learn. It's so easy to just go with you know, the flow. But if you want to be very conscious and very planned, you have to put effort in to see where the organization as a whole is going, and then work down to individual people to push people into the areas that you really need your organization to grow in.
So quick answer, John. Learning de and development on a Scrum backlog, do you think that's a good idea?
We did that at a team level at my last company because we needed people to get their work done, and we needed people to get their training and learning done. And if we didn't plan for people to do the training and learning, there would always be something else that would come in the way. And so that's why we would do it at a team level, who had to learn what, who had to focus on what, and then we'd figure out how we got those people time so they could actually do the learning. And I've been at companies where if people didn't do the learning that was assigned to them, that was usually, we would find out that there's usually something going on with it, that they really weren't a good employee. And then we'd start having hard conversations for people that if we dedicate time to them and they still don't do the learning that they're supposed to, it's usually the employees we don't want to have.
Thank you, John, for weighing in on that. Joe, one of my answers to this is I think when we think about yearly performance management goals, I only have one for people on my staff, and that is, what are you investing in yourself? What is your learning program and how you are applying it? It's a little bit controversial, but I'm interested, how should organizations accelerate skill development, and how do you protect the budget when times are tough?
I like that, Isaac. I would ask the question, what have you done that wasn't on the task list, right?
Right.
Where have you wandered off the reservation and what was the result? I put a couple of quick bullet points on here, and then I want to go back to something you said earlier about how do you keep people from avoiding the burnout syndrome. If you want to accelerate learning, create the space where they can do learning. Provide a sandbox. By that, I don't mean only the tools or the infrastructure, the environment, but also the culture. Provide time. Give people free time to experiment. Google famously gives you a percentage of your time to come up with new ideas, and that seems to work well for them. Celebrate the failures and share the learning from the failures with the entire team. That tells the team it's okay to experiment, it's okay to fail. And then when those great ideas come up, they're not your ideas. Somebody came up with them. Share the wealth. Promote the idea and the individuals who fostered those ideas. So just a couple of quick bullet points on the last one. Going back to something we haven't addressed yet that I think is critically important in all of this personal development, and that is work-life balance. Let's make sure that we don't overtax an individual if they're not up to the amount of hours or the stress that we're putting on them. You need to recognize that early on and deal with it. Have some empathy. People have lives outside of work, and sometimes they even need to be reminded of that. So I would say in column two here, developing that dexterity and avoiding the burnout issue, let's make sure we keep an eye on work-life balance.
Thank you, Joe. We'll talk soon. Thank you for joining today. Martin and Joanne, before I go to you, we have a Ashish who we haven't actually heard from in quite a bit. Hi, Ashish. What do you have for us today?
Hi guys. So yeah, I just wanted to add and kind of tag along with what how would organizations kind of encourage innovation or even the learning culture, right? So I'll give you an example from where I was spent like 8 years in IBM. We had the Think 40 where every employee had to have 40 hours of learning, and it has to be meaningful learning in the area or domain that they wanted to be experts in. So if you're client facing, then it has to be. So like I was in life science, you have to know life science, medical devices. So it's relevant, not just for the sake of checking the box. And that 40, Think 40 was kind of used also while evaluating for promotions or you're up for recognition for any. So that became like a threshold that everybody had to cross, but there was no limit, right? And I think what I saw last 6, 7 years was the open strategy experimentation, right? Where opening up for crowdsourcing ideas where you have a hard problem in networking or in cloud, right? How do you open it safely to not only just internally, obviously, you open up internally so that it is a competitive gamification of that, so that and very visual and clear recognition when somebody comes up with a good concept and they say, hey, your idea has been picked. And now we are going this into a product, right? Whole productization of that idea. So people see that and getting recognized and even being called into the the top 100 IBMers who kind of excel in that aspect. So that's one way of creating that gamification and giving that recognition, right? It's not the monetary component is not important or even the price, but in the IT field, getting them recognized on LinkedIn that hey, this person came up with this idea, which is solving this problem, and now we are making this into a product, right? So I've seen that help, and then that can be taken in a smaller scale on projects too, right? Gamifying that whole concept, getting crowdsourcing ideas, and then managing that aspect without losing any IP is one area I wanted. I'm also passionate about and following that concept on projects now to get new ideas, and also the dexterity and the diversity of the ideas that we need, right? From rather than sticking to our own, see, typically in consulting, we use our own frameworks which are proven, and you have to kind of big butt mold sometimes, get new ideas to be creative in this VUCA world, right? So that's where I thought I wanted to kind of add that.
Thank you, Ashish. I mean, the one bullet I put down here on our whiteboard is this idea of marketing the learning journey, right? Celebrate some success and showcase where people made those investments in time, took steps outside of their comfort zone, and it's delivered value for themselves, the people who have done that, and for the organization. I think it's a really key idea. Martin, your thoughts today to close out.
Okay, so a couple of thoughts. So if you look in the second box down on the third column, CFO says, what if we invest and they leave? And the CEO says, what if we don't invest and they stay? And that old phrase, whatever, is so true. Yeah. And so from a perspective of people, if you are not constantly learning, then you're going backwards compared to other people. The same way the company, if they're not changing, they're dying. Yeah. So from a personal development perspective, you owe it to yourself to be constantly trying to learn. And yeah, I think that comment earlier, be prepared to admit you don't know and be ready to learn. Yeah, it's a case of you've actively got to seek out the learning. It's just a case of your work is not the only thing you should be doing. You should be focusing on yourself. And it's very easy to say and difficult to do, because you need to be looking at how you are continuously learning yourself.
Martin, last week you suggested a coffee hour topic that is on my list. I don't know when I'm going to book it yet. And you asked, is AI going to kill IT? And right. And so if I'm that CFO and believes that AI is going to kill IT, why am I going to invest in people?
Because we're not all IT.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's why if you look about our digital dexterity conversation, the biggest conversation here is about thinking and about business.
Brilliant. And go ahead, Joanne.
So I just wanted to add this before we run out of time. To that point, and to build on what Martin was saying and what you asked, whether AI kills IT as a group or an organization, a department, whatever you want to call it, the next wave of digital transformation leaders are not going to be the best technologists or the best at looking at business from a, from a long distance lens, so to speak, an ecosystem necessarily, but rather they will be the ones who are at the intersection of both and who thrive at both and evolve faster than the change itself. They're the ones who are used to be called visionaries, futurists. We're no longer called that. We're called corporate strategists. And if you want to be digitally dexterous, you need to be a strategic thinker, a critical thinker, and put yourself out there in every way, shape, and form possible as a leader.
Thank you, Joanne. And that is our closing for today. Folks, thank you for being patient. We did have a technical hiccup this morning. I still don't know root cause, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to figure it out. We could not get LinkedIn working this, and I'm thrilled that you joined us here behind the green room in Zoom. We will be back, hopefully on LinkedIn, with our traditional common stream, and talking about ecosystem thinking, collaborating with startups, partners in academia. I do not have the May 30th topic selected yet. Maybe we will talk about killing. Is AI killing IT? We will be taking a break on 5/23 for the US Memorial Day weekend. So there will not be an event that Friday, or I'm not planning on it just yet. Thank you for joining this week. I'll put some more comments up on the LinkedIn page about this event, and appreciate your patience just getting this started. I'm going to put us on pause, and our event will officially be over at that point. Hold on one second.